Good morning and welcome to the Print AM, our new daily morning podcast of the big news story. This is Apoorva Mandhani, Principal Correspondent at The Print, and today I bring to you the major findings from my own analysis of what Supreme Court judges do after they retire. Now first, let's take a look at the sample. I looked at all the judges who've retired since 1999. There are 103 such judges in all. One of them, Justice M. Srinivasan, passed away in office in February 2000, so he didn't formally retire. Now here are some of the key findings of my research. Of the 103 judges, as many as 73 took up some sort of assignment or other after demitting office. These assignments included appointments to tribunals, human rights commissions, government-appointed ad hoc commissions, court-appointed committees, water tribunals, and as lokayuktas or state-level anti-corruption officials. And as many as 65 out of the 103 judges took up an assignment within 3 years of retiring, with some even assuming multiple positions one after the other. Another key finding was that the first post-retirement assignment of at least 62 out of the 103 judges involved a direct appointment by the government or the government having a say in such appointments. A few appointments, of course, stood out. For instance, former Chief Justice of India P. Sathasivam was appointed as Governor of Kerala 4 months after he retired in 2014. Former Chief Justice of India Ranjan Gogoi's nomination to the Rajya Sabha also came 4 months after he retired in November 2018. Now, to be clear, there is no provision in law that bars judges from taking up post-retirement assignments, nor is there a cooling-off period. But critics see immediate appointments after retirement as constituting a potential conflict of interest. So they point out that such appointments create questions about judgments issued by judges while in service. All this is compounded by the fact that the government is the biggest litigant in the country. So accepting appointments by the government after retirement often raises questions of public perception on independence of the judiciary. On the other hand, supporters of the idea point out that certain subjects actually require handling of experts who are well-versed in the intricacies of Indian law, which makes judges indispensable to bodies like tribunals. And this debate isn't new. As far back as 1958, the first Law Commission of India had unanimously recommended that judges should not accept post-retirement jobs from the government. Ironically though, the then Chief Justice of the Bombay High Court, Justice M.C. Chagla, who was also a part of the first Law Commission, accepted a slew of government appointments right after he retired. So he served as the Indian Ambassador to the US, as the Indian High Commissioner to the UK, as the Education Minister, and as the Minister for External Affairs. Now, one of the most significant reasons for most post-retirement assignments in India is that the laws require appointment of retired judges to run tribunals and several other bodies. So, for example, out of the 103 judges in my study, 16 were appointed as members or chairpersons of the National Human Rights Commission or the State Human Rights Commission. In total, 45 such appointments were made to such tribunals and other permanent bodies and statutory bodies. Also, out of the 103 judges, 8 were appointed to various ad hoc committees and commissions set up by the government, and at least another 10 judges were appointed by the Supreme Court and High Courts to different ad hoc committees and commissions created for a specific purpose. Among the most high profile of these post-retirement assignments was handed over by the Supreme Court to Justices R.M. Lodha, R.V. Ravindran and Ashok Bhan, who attempted to reform the Board of Control for Cricket in India or the BCCI. The Print also spoke to several retired judges, and a lot of them drew a distinction between court-appointed committees and other assignments which involved the government. So, for instance, Justice Madan B. Lokur, who is a retired Supreme Court judge, told us that there's a qualitative and quantitative difference between different types of appointments. He explained that an appointment to a tribunal or a commission usually comes with a salary and perks paid for by the government. As for court-appointed committees, he said they're usually made in open court and in the course of judicial proceedings. Court appointments can be with or without remuneration and perks, which is fixed as a part of the court order. Now, even within the judiciary, there are voices who rail against the practice of judges taking up post-retirement jobs. This includes Justice J.J. Lameshwar and Kurian Joseph, who had openly announced that they would not be accepting any sort of post-retirement jobs. After his retirement last year, Justice Deepak Gupta also said that if he were offered a Rajya Sabha nomination like Justice Gogoi, he would not have accepted it. Now, several judges in my study chose to be arbitrators instead as well, and a few even took up international assignments. Justice M.B. Lokur, for instance, retired in December 2018 and was appointed to the Supreme Court of Fiji as a judge of its non-resident panel with effect from 21st January 2019. Justice A.K. Sikri was appointed as an international judge of the Singapore International Commercial Court in August 2019, 5 months after he retired. That's all I have for you right now. This is Apurva Mandhani, Principal Correspondent at The Print, bringing you this podcast, The Print AM. Do log in every morning at 8 a.m. to listen to the best news analysis from The Print. We will be back tomorrow with a new episode.